This week we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to continue to preach on the Holy Spirit for a period of time to acknowledge here today our need for this wonderful gift that God has given us, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The last time I spoke, we talked about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and what they recorded of the words of Jesus Christ and what Jesus had said about the Holy Spirit and why we need the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to continue on from there. Today I want to talk about new wine and new wineskins. And today we want to talk about getting prepared to receive. How many know we need to be the wineskins today for the wine? And so remind me, Jim, at the end we'll pray over Israel. This is a special day of prayer for that country, so we will pray at the end of the service for that here today. And so we're going into our Bibles here. We're going to be going to somewhere, Luke chapter 5. So we're going to begin here today, and again, just open up your hearts to what the Holy Spirit has for you. I believe there's a dissatisfaction in a lot of people in the church today of what they're experiencing in the church experience. But how many know it can go as deep as you want it to go? Amen. And so we can't blame the church. We can't blame anybody else, but we can only blame ourselves because he said it's available to us today. And, you know, it needs to start with somebody. So why not let it be you here this morning? If it doesn't start with me, let it start with you this morning. And allow the Holy Spirit to use you this morning to create a revival here, to create an atmosphere where he shows up, an atmosphere where we get excited about getting back into the Great Commission and doing what he's called us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. That was weak, but we'll move on. All right. So I want to talk about this morning. I just want to begin here, and I'm going to spend a little time on it, on the pursuit of happiness. And how many know that the song, the old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way than to be what? Happy in Jesus, right? But to trust and obey. And so today, I believe that happiness is something. We kind of differentiate between joy and happiness, but you look it up in a dictionary, they're synonyms. And so Jesus did talk about happiness. And so we're going to talk about that here as we open up here today. We know that the pursuit of happiness is a fundamental right. It's declared in our United States Declaration of Independence along with life and liberty. We have the ability to pursue happiness. And I read somewhere that it is one of the 10 core values in America. So I don't know what the other 9 are, so we'll just move on from there. So for many, however, happiness is elusive. And I want you to know here today that happiness is a possible achievement in our life. Jesus said it was achievable. How many have ever read the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount? It said, blessed, right? Happy are those poor in spirit. Happy are those who hunger and thirst. Happy are those who mourn, right? He's talking about happiness, that we can be fulfilled, that we can achieve it in this life. According to psychologists, and you can take this for what it's worth here today, who study happiness have come out with a report. It says, it turns out that a big part of happiness is not under our control after all. About half of a person's happiness, 50%, is due to set points, the built-in disposition that results from genes inherited from parents. So if you're not a happy person, you know who we can blame. We blame them for everything else. Why not blame them for our lack of happiness, right? All right. That's what psychologists do. What'd your mom and dad do to you, right? Why are you so messed up, right? So we can point to them today and say, we got it from you. So one person's happiness set point might be high, and that person would always tend to be happy in life. We all know those Pollyannas, those ones that make you gag because they're happy all the time, right? We all know those individuals. But another person's might be low, and this person would tend to be unhappy in life. And we all know those Eeyores, right? It's a sunny day today. Oh, it might rain this afternoon, right? You know those type of people, right? But most of us find ourselves in between these two extremes here today. And so we want to just kind of talk to those. If you're an Eeyore or a Pollyanna, good luck. All right. You're on your own. But if this is true, a good question to ask might be, if 50% of my happiness is out of my control, what about the other half? They go on in this report and say only about 10% is determined by your life circumstances, your age, your wealth, your health, place of residence, and so forth. So this means that 40% is under your control, determined by what you think and decide and do. So let's kind of summarize this morning. The pursuit of happiness, 50% is inherent, right? Your personality, your temperament, blame your parents. 10% is circumstantial, and 40% is self-regulated. So let's conclude this. The result is this, 50% is unchangeable. 50% is changeable. So in the worst scenario, I have a 50% chance of experiencing a happy life, according to psychologists. So it's like flipping a coin every morning and wondering how your day is going to turn out, if it's going to be a good day or it's going to be a bad day. So when you got up this morning, you had a 50-50 chance you were going to have a good day. And if you're here with me, it's a great day. All right. Or 50-50 chance that you will have a good life. And I hope you're having one. But we don't have to live with those odds. When we accept Jesus Christ, accept his invitation to follow him, the odds change tremendously in our favor. How many know that? Hallelujah. The pursuit of happiness is infused with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What's the second fruit? Joy, love, joy, peace, right? So we are infused by the Spirit of God. How many know 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that his spirit, our spirit, become what? One, right? Hallelujah. A supernatural event takes place when you accept Jesus Christ. How many are living with the idea that there is a supernatural being that's attached to you, that you are one with him? I think if we realize that as a church, the church would be completely different. Think about it today. We receive a transfusion of God's nature into our nature. God gives every believer a fundamental right to experience his happiness. It's available to us as his people here today. So if we have inherited his nature, the odds change from 50-50 to something much greater. So if you're not a happy person and you're not enjoying life, if you're not enjoying your Christian walk, guess what? It can improve. It can improve. It goes on and says 50%, think about it, is inherent nature. And so guess what? We're no longer just in the gene pool of our mom and dad, but we're in the gene pool of God. Isn't that exciting? So 50%, guess what, becomes an inherent nature from God. John 1:12 says this, and you know this. You may not know what it is. Remember, we talked about memorizing and knowing the tag, right? Know where it's found. Yet to all who receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave what? The right to become the children of God. Hallelujah. So we're born again into the family of God. We're part of his family now when we accept Jesus Christ. So that word right is exousia, which we like in the faith movement. You know, we like that in Deutamus. We kind of like to throw those words out, but they're interchangeable in throughout the Bible. But it means authority. It means power. Or we have the privilege or the right to be called the children of God. So we take on a new nature. We take on God's nature. And so that's the good news for us here this morning. If you're not a happy person, you might want to examine where you are with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we have partaken of his nature. And how many know God's a happy God? Unless you read the Old Testament only. Amen. But we know that joy is part of the nature of our God. So we have 50% is inherited nature, and 50% is choice-based, based on our circumstances and what's under our control. So that kind of changes things here. So we were looking at this, and it says that the possibility of you have the possibility of equaling 100% of being happy. How many are 100% happy other than Carol? I don't know if you've ever been around Carol. All she does is laugh. I don't know if she comes in. I don't know. I don't know. But she's probably one of the most joyful. I don't know what she's like at home, so I won't. But here. Amen. So we have improved odds. So depending on your circumstances, you have at least 90% all right, chance of being happy, right, depending on your circumstances. How many of you know life isn't easy and sometimes things throw your way? And yes, they bring us down. But hallelujah, greater is he that is in us, right, than he that is in the world. So you have a greater chance of being happy when you're walking with Jesus. So we're getting close to our scripture here, Luke chapter 5, and the Pharisees are kind of raining down on Matthew's party. And they're kind of not accepting Jesus at this point. And I don't know if some of them ever accepted Jesus at any point. But we pick up the story where the Pharisees are encountering Matthew, his guests, his disciples, and Jesus himself. And they love to be miserable and annoying to everybody around them. And how many of you know that takes a special calling, right? And there are people that are determined to fulfill that call in their life to kind of bring you down. Amen? I was once referred to as an individual who had a sandpaper ministry. Amen. All right. And I'm just trying to make people smooth, you know? All right. But they felt it was their call. So one day they showed up at Matthew's birthday party and tried to squelch everybody's good time. Was it his birthday party? I don't know, but it was the day he met Jesus and his life changed forever. So that's a good birthday, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you will catch up on. They picked on Matthew and his friends. They picked on Jesus' disciples. But their remarks were basically focused at Jesus. And so Jesus responds to their allegations with cultural metaphors, something that they would understand, and Jesus exposes their problem. And so in Luke chapter 5, we pick up the story here. Matthew has just been called. He's all excited. He calls all his friends together, and they're having a party. And they didn't invite the Pharisees, but they showed up anyway. It says, then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? They're at a party. Who goes to a party to fast? Come on. What a downer. And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom? This is what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And verse 37 through 39 is where I kind of want to focus here today. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk of the old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. We're in trouble, right? When we say the old is better. So I want to focus, as I said, on verse 37 through 39, and I want to focus on what Jesus was telling the Pharisees concerning their interpretation of the relationship with God. Their happiness depended upon it, and so does ours. And so Jesus begins to explain to the Pharisees a better way. Are you ready? It's a very simple message here today, but I'm just asking you to prepare your heart today. This is Pentecost Sunday. We are going to invite you, if you're not walking with Jesus, to know Jesus. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and need to be refilled, what a great opportunity. And if you've never been filled, It's a great opportunity. And we're going to continue this throughout the series, and we're going to continue to invite you to receive this wonderful gift that Christ has provided for us. All right. So Jesus warns the Pharisees, and he says, "New wine and old wineskins do not mix." And let me just read verse 37 again. And look at the contrast. "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined." I just want you to let you know, and I think you know this, that Jesus does not fit into our old life. Do you understand that? He does not fit into our old life. We live in two worlds, but we can't live for two worlds. Do you understand that today? That when Jesus comes in, guess what? He changes our lives. He prepares not only just our spirit is born again, but he prepares the casing, which is going to encompass that new life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new." I want you to realize today that the Holy Spirit is a catalyst here this morning. He is a change agent in our life. And the old does not mix with, the new does not mix with the old. And I'm not a wine person. I haven't drank wine, maybe a communion growing up in church, but that's about the extent of it. In winemaking, the fermentation process is a catalyst from changing grape juice into wine. And so by adding certain things into the grape juice, a chemical reaction begins to take place. And it begins to build up pressure. And so you've all drank soda. You've all had soda cans or bottles that were shaken up, right? There is a reaction. There is pressure there. And something happens, right? It creates a pressure that overflows. And so he's talking about here, and they would understand this, that within this chemical reaction, there is pressure building up within these wineskins. And if that wineskin is not properly prepared, if there's some kind of fault in that wineskin, guess what? It's going to burst. And so what you will have is ruined wineskins and wine. So the new wine we know today, we're talking about, is the Holy Spirit. He is offering it for us here today. The old wineskins are our old lives. They're the pre-Jesus wineskins. They are not the new. And so the fruit of the new wine is a new life. So we can experience a happiness in Jesus Christ. People who drink too much wine act silly and irresponsible. Amen? Even Solomon wrote in Proverbs, he wrote almost a whole chapter talking about those who drink. But people who partake of the new wine, the Holy Spirit, act like Jesus. There is a transformation that takes place. How many know we are to be a holy people because our God is a holy God? And so when we accept Jesus Christ, what happens in 1 John chapter 2, 27, what happens, he said, there will be an anointing that we receive in our lives when we accept Jesus Christ. And guess what? We don't need to anybody to tell us right from wrong. How many know that? I don't need to come up here and begin to list a bunch of sins that are things that you should not be doing. But if you accept the Holy Spirit, guess what? He begins to speak to you. He begins to clean up your life. There are people that drank. When they got saved, they didn't drink anymore. There are those who smoked. What? They got saved and they didn't smoke anymore. There is those who were involved in sexual immorality. They got saved. And what? They stopped. Why? Because nobody had to tell them. It's because the Holy Spirit within them began to speak to them and begin to point out those things in their life that were wrong. Because, you know, new wineskins demand new wineskins. How many know we can't clean ourselves up? But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that begins to transform around. Do not be conformed, right, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we are all in a process here this morning. And we need to be the wineskins that can hold the new wine that Jesus is offering us here this morning. So we look at this, new wine and old wineskins do not mix. But he goes on in verse 38, new wine in new wineskins is a great fix. He says, but new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Hallelujah. There are a lot of preserved people in the church. Right? There are a lot of preserved people in the church that Jesus couldn't move them with dynamite. Amen? Because we're preserved both inwardly, and then he preserves the outside. And the inside needs to match. Did I say that? The outside needs to match the inside. So preserve means to protect. It means to save. It means to hold. It means to keep here today. And 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, and I don't know why I put this in here, but I'm going to read it because it's in my notes. But this precious treasure, the light and power that now shines within you, that dwells within you, is held in perishable containers, right? These wineskins, right? They're perishable. That is our weak bodies. So everyone can see that our glorious power is from God and is not our own. So we know that wineskins deteriorate. We know that they're going to grow old. They're not going to be good. But what's more important is what's taking place on the inside of us. It's that new wine. And so we're excited about being containers while we're here on earth in these perishable bodies to what? Contain what? The power of God within us. We're country folks, and so canning is something that you're familiar with. Canning is a process of preserving food. And we know if we're going to preserve food that we have to have a sanitized jar, right? And you have to have a new lid, right? You don't take a lid from last year and put it on the new. We boil it, we pressure cook it in water, right? And energy builds up within that. How do you know in canning that it has been successful? What happens? All right, the lid pops, right? If it doesn't, what do you do? You either eat it right away or start over or discard it, right? Because you want to hear that pop. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to us to preserve the Christian life. Are you popping here this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to protect. He wants to hold and keep us safe. So do not use an unsanitized jar or old lid with new food. We don't do that, right? The good thing, when we hear that pop, guess what? There's a vacuum within that jar, right? Nothing gets in and nothing leaks out. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit here this morning? And some of you partied too much last night, so we are a new wine placed in a new creation. We have become a new creation in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to do some jumping jacks here this morning. Hallelujah. The third one is new wine requires a change of taste. And this is probably the hardest for some of us in this room here today. No one having drunk old wine immediately, and I want to emphasize that word immediately, desires the new, for he says the old is better. It's better. So change is a process. How many know that? How many know the day you got saved, not everything fell off in your life? There may be some things in our life that immediately stopped and were dropped off in our life, but how many know we've had to work through a lot of different things? And as a believer walking for decades with Jesus Christ, how many know he's still pointing out the flaws in your life, those things that he wants you to get rid of in your life? Just when you think you have arrived, he pops your balloon. Amen? And shows you there's some other things that need to be taken care of in our life. So change is a process, and it's not always easy. And developing a taste for new wine takes time. And that's what he said. You know, if you're used to drinking the old wine, why do you want the new stuff? This is where we need to kind of think about things here today. We need to realize that we can't get stuck in the past. Because the things that we've experienced in our life in the past have become our greatest hindrance of what Christ wants to do in our life today. The experiences we've had with the Holy Spirit in the past hinder us from receiving something new from the Holy Spirit today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we look through the lens of our experience, and we're expecting him to move the way he did in the past. We want him to move in the same way that he has in the past. But the good news today is he wants to do something new. Something fresh. Something maybe that we have never experienced in our life before. Developing taste for new wine takes time. The Pharisees accused Jesus and his disciples of hanging out with and not taking the time to fast. And how many know those things are good things? Right? We're not to party with our friends. And how many know that fasting is a good thing? It's an awesome thing. But how many know everything has its time and its place? This was a stumbling block to the disciples. We fast, John's disciples fast, but your disciples don't fast. And this can be a very dangerous mindset for us when we begin to think if it's not broke, we don't need to fix it. Folks, today I'm glad that we're not riding around in Model Ts. I'm glad today that we're not cooking over an open fire, that we can just go in and turn on the stove, turn on the oven, turn on the microwave, put it in the crock pot, right? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this morning that you didn't have to get up and go out to the outhouse? Hallelujah for indoor plumbing. Amen. Hallelujah. But yet, spiritually, we're looking at the same thing. We're thinking about the good old days, those past experiences. Folks, let's move on. If you want an outhouse in the back of your house, that's great. But spiritually, that's kind of what we're doing. We're doing the same thing. We're going back in time and saying, oh, that was a great time. That was a great experience, and I wish God would do it again. How many know things are evolving? New things are happening all the time in our world. Folks, let's get with the times. Let's go, because God has the same mentality. If you're going to reach a new world, you can't go back and do old things. We need something fresh. We need something new. The old wine may have the appearance of being better, but it's not. And let me beat this dead horse here. I'm going to keep beating it. Let's not want the old experiences when Jesus is offering us something new. Who said the old is better than the new? The old wine may have the appearance of being better, but it's not. Let's exchange the good for what's best. You see, the church's relevance or its success is usually based on its history. But the thing is, folks, we've been uninformed, we're delusional when we want to go back in the past. We base our relevance on what we're experiencing today. We base it on our successes. We base it on what we're doing well. We base it on the programs and our procedures, and maybe even base it on certain individuals. But folks, that's an inward focus. God's saying it's time to look outward. It's time to stop being prehistoric. And I might get in trouble with this example, but how many know that Taylor Swift is current? I don't know much about her, but I went on the internet just to hear the music that she plays. And I could care less if I ever heard Taylor Swift again. Her music does absolutely nothing for me. I don't even think it's catchy. I don't even think it's that great. She writes ballads. She writes a story. And, you know, our world is being drawn to that. Her popularity right now is phenomenal. And it is shaping a lot of things. It's even shaping the NFL. Yeah, really. When you want to watch the NFL and you have to hear about Taylor Swift, it's terrible. Amen. Hallelujah. But it'll all be swept away when the Steelers go to the Super Bowl. So that'll be okay. I don't know if you're an Eagles fan. I figured there was one in the house. There's the door, and we shall see. They play each other this year, yes. Amen. But anyway, she is current. How many of you know that organs and hymns are not? So if you give a choice between people going to a Taylor Swift concert or going to church, where are they going to go? Come on. I'm not a Swiftie. I don't want to be a Swiftie. But I want to tell you something, that she is connecting with the outcasts in our world. She is connecting to those that are on the fringe. She is connecting to the people like Matthew and his friends. She really is. Those people that we kind of pour our nose at and kind of dig at, the homosexuals, the transgenders, all those individuals that we kind of just have scope put into a pot. Guess what? They're the people that are going to her concerts. Folks, those are the people we're supposed to be reaching as the church. She's doing a better job at evangelizing and drawing people than the church. God forbid. God help us. Give us a new heart for new wineskins, right? Folks, we want people to be drawn to our church not because we meet here every Sunday, but it's because God shows up. God shows up. We don't want to just stay in this building, but our vision is bigger than that. We want to go out there. We want to go to them. Jesus exposed the Pharisees' unwillingness to change. God was doing a new thing. The problem was they were satisfied with the old. That's what he was getting at. They were saying the old wine's good enough, but Jesus says, no, it's not. I believe today, as we've been given, started kind of pronouncing and kind of giving you our vision, I believe our vision is too small. I believe we haven't even begun to even tap into what God would have us do as a church. And so we are a work in progress. We're going to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and where he wants us to go. So, new wine and old wineskins do not mix, church. New wine and new wineskins is a great fix. New wine requires a change of taste. The problem is we've become spiritually frugal. How many are frugal? How many like to save a buck, right? We all like to save a buck, but recycling in the church does not work. We need new wineskins. Some of us are being frugal. We're trying to recycle the old wineskins. Folks, it doesn't work. He said, if you put new wine in the old wineskins, guess what? They're going to break. We're not saving a buck, church. We're saving people. We are saving people. This is Pentecost Sunday, if you'll come. We cannot put new wine in old wineskins or we will not be happy campers. Let's go back to the happy, right? Because I believe when we're in the center of God's will, we're doing what he's called us to do as individuals, even as a church, I believe we're going to be a happy people. I don't know about you, but I'm happy with my walk with Jesus. Jesus has a wonderful gift for you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill your life with new wine, a new infilling of the Holy Spirit, a new empowerment. And some of us have been filled in the past, and some of you need to be filled. Some of you need your batteries recharged. Some of you aren't even operating in that gift of just speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you as you're ministering in the behalf of others. I've watched people throw up their arms, their hands, being delusioned about the church. They're frustrated and they walk away. But the problem isn't the external, it's the internal. They had not acquired a change of taste. There are people walking out of churches today because they're not doing what they think the church should do. Or maybe they're not willing to change themselves. My encouragement here today, folks, is be willing to change. These individuals, they've mixed the new with the old, and the wineskins burst. They burst. Jesus doesn't want any of us to implode or explode. Some of us, people can't see what's happening. We're not exploding on the outside, but how many know implosion is an explosion on the inside? People are blowing up on the inside. Life has given them a blow. There are so many fearful people in our world. I don't think it was a problem. I think it was a problem before 2020, but I think 2020 and COVID just brought it to the surface. There are believers today that are so fearful of the future. Turn off the news. Open the good book. Open the good news. He said he won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He's with us. How many of this thing's in his control? Even though the devil is the god of this world, Jesus is in control. He is in control. According to psychologists, we live in a 50-50 world. I don't know where your happiness is. Is it like a roller coaster going from day to day? Depending on what's happening, whatever you're feeling for that moment. But don't live your life like flipping a coin. And if we're not walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, guess what? That's what we're doing. Why not walk in the Holy Spirit, which is the new gene pool? Why are we satisfied with living in the gene pool of our mom and dad, our biological parents, when He has offered us so much more? The odds are higher with the Holy Spirit in your life. Because He doesn't just offer you life, but, finish it, abundant life. The abundant life. The happy life. It's the life He's offering us. So He is the real source of power, happiness, and fulfillment, or contentment. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Are you content? We're called to be a holy people. And maybe we're not seeing the movement of the Holy Spirit because maybe the wineskins can't hold what the new wine, the power of the new wine. Stop trying to fit now, or new, can you read my own writing? Stop trying to fit the new wine or the new life into the old wineskins. The old life. They don't mix. We can't live one foot in the world and one world in the kingdom of God. We just can't. It's a terrible situation. It's a losing situation. It's time for the old wineskins to be. Let's get stuck out of the time warp. Let's get past the past. Even though it might have been good. It's time for something new. Let me just say this. The old wine is not better. It's just more expensive. Do you understand that? It probably really doesn't taste that much different. I'm not an expert. And they can smell it. They can roll it around in their glass. They can say this or that. How many know people are gullible? But Jesus is offering something new for you here today. Amen. So this is our altar call here today. If you need Jesus in your life, I want you to come forward today. If you need to make things right with Jesus because you've made some decisions that have taken you away from Him, now is the time to renew that. If you're that prodigal today, it's time to renew that relationship with Him.